other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's July 18th, Mia.
Hey, how about that?
Hey, how about that? I don't know. Is it a special day for anyone?
I don't know, but I'll tell you right now, I'm incredibly distracted about like what's going down outside our window right
now.
I just counted.
Right,
okay. Uh-huh. I counted 6 fire trucks.
Wow.
I still hear them right now. One went straight. 2 went, I think, to the right, and then the rest of them went to the left. Like, they all, and now, see, this one's coming around.
Yeah,
there's another one that way.
They made a U-turn. I mean, can you imagine the fire trucks going the wrong way and then doing a U-turn? What the hell is that?
Like, yeah, like, literally, like, it's a regular big four-way intersection, and they all went different directions. I don't understand.
Maybe it's
I'm
an
so confused.
Invasion by the red trucks or something.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. They're, like, all really big ones, and now I kind of want to know what happened.
Oh,
like,
well,
what
I'm sure we'll find out.
Six fire trucks all going different directions.
Yeah.
In Sherman Oaks. What's going on?
I know. People drive like crazy. You know, last night I'm driving and the traffic's really slow. I'm like, this is very unusual.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, there was an accident on the other side with a motorcycle. You know, you know, there was probably somebody dead there. You know, I mean, there's no way you ride a motorcycle on the freeway. In fact, they drive like so crazy, you know, between the cars and everything.
Yeah, I know.
Last night a cop was doing the same thing. And I'm like, I didn't even see him. I almost hit him, you know?
Yeah. See, what's so weird is that, like, that's legal out here.
Yeah.
But it's illegal to not wear a helmet. Like, you have to wear a helmet.
Right.
Which, you know, is at least one good thing where, you know, because this is what scares me.
Right.
My baby brother, I mean, he's not a baby. He's, like, 20 years old. But
right. He's
he
a baby.
Got a motorcycle. Okay. You know, and...
He rides a motorcycle all the time?
No, he has a car too, but just you know, during the summer, he bought one for himself, and you know, I saw it when I was home. It's nice, awesome vintage Honda CB650, I think, and yeah, it's really cool. But he, you know, there's not a law with helmets there.
Oh wow!
So sometimes, you know, he'll just not even leather jacket, nothing. Oh, I'm just going down the street, like, dude, it doesn't matter, like. It doesn't matter if you're going an hour just down the street. Like,
right.
If, you know, somebody's not paying attention.
There you go.
You know,
it doesn't
matter.
It
makes
me
so nervous. But it's like they can't drive through in between the traffic like they can here.
Right.
That's illegal.
Yeah. We have a phone call. Let's see who that is.
Oh.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Sam, this is Greg in Cleveland.
Oh, Greg in Cleveland. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous. How are you?
Good, good. Mia, have you gotten a chance to talk to Greg Rempe yet? The guy that does all the voices, you know, like, you're listening to Sam and Mia, blah, blah, blah. The
oh,
best
my gosh.
Show.
I thought I recognized that voice. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And I know I'm tremendously late with the welcome in, but...
Oh, thank you.
This show is like... Just when I think it could be going down in the flames, it continues to go off without a hitch. So, Sam, it's a testament
now, why
to
would you
being the backbone. But, oh, my God, I mean, I gotta tell you, Sam.
Yes.
This co-host of yours has to be hotter than all of the rest of them combined. She's smoking hot.
Well, what can I tell you? You know, it's all... You know, it's like you said, it keeps improving all the time, you know, so that's just the way it is, man.
My show would be going from 1 hour to 8 hours if I was co-hosting with that.
You're too funny. That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Yeah. And she's from Chicago, too, man. You can sometimes go and visit her when she goes back home.
you know, Chicago is one of the most elite places for hot dogs ever on the face of the earth as well. So
really?
Oh, heck yeah.
So Chicago is well known for the Chicago dog, and I mean, aside from the deep dish pizza stuff, but
right.
The hot dogs are really some of the best you can get across the country and widely recognized as such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, what? The Chicago dog is like, there's so many different ingredients, and they put like peppers and tomatoes and pickles and everything. It's crazy.
Sounds
like a
burger. Good. Yeah. Now, Greg is very interested in that because he has a show called Barbecue Central, and Greg loves to cook and barbecue and grill and stuff. So he knows these things, you know. Greg's been talking about barbecue for 6 years now, every week.
And you, I was just talking to somebody the other day. They were asking me, like, how the show came to be and this and that. And I said, you know, I ended up talking with a guy, like, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you meet anybody? Through Craigslist.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, I'm looking for talent. I'm starting this internet radio show. And I'm like, I talked to this guy. And he's like, are you really going to talk about barbecue and grilling for an hour each week? I said, yeah, no doubt about it. And he's like, I don't know, but okay. So we put the technology together, and fast forward 6 years later, I've actually added another hour to the show and a couple other dynamics as well, and it has been absolutely fun and exciting, and it all started at the what I affectionately refer to as the mothership of LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the first ones. The first day we opened the door, he was already on board, man.
That's
and
awesome.
Still still providing us with a voice. Greg, so tell people what time your show is at so people can listen.
It's Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, so 6 p.m. Pacific, and you can find it, obviously, through LA Talk Radio for the first hour. And then if you like it enough and you want to check out the second hour, you can go to thebbqcentralshow.com.
Right.
For the second hour, and there's also a video feed up there as well. It's quite the production over the course
yeah,
of the
I guess.
Genesis.
So people really like to see you sitting at home and doing the show.
You know, more and more requests for like video camera. I'm like, why? I'm talking into a microphone. I mean, what do you want?
Exactly.
And people are like, well, we want to see what your face looks like when somebody says an answer, or if you're becoming bored, we want to see it. I've added a bunch of different production elements now. So, you know, if we Skype video, I can show you on one side and I can show me on the other, and I have a green screen thing now. So the production
you went all out,
it, but, you know, it's still just me doing a show.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, Greg, you got to do some new impressions for us. You know, I mean, Borat is pretty old by now. I don't play it anymore. But you gotta do some. Who are some new impressions you can do?
I don't know if I've even bothered working on any impressions.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Doing them like quite regularly, and then you know I got a job, and that kind of kills all the free time during the day for creativity and practice. So
that's true.
I still do like Harry Carey on the show, and every once in a while, and but yeah, I mean a lot of that stuff is kind of. I don't want to say it's dead and buried, but it's kind of archival in a way. But,
there you go. Pretty
you
much
can
dead
bring
and buried.
It back, right? Because it's kind of where the show started, and every once in a while you like to hear a little drunk dead Ted Kennedy, and you like to hear a little George Takei, and just because it kind of reminds you of where the show has evolved out of, I guess.
That's true, yeah. And it's a lot of fun listening to some past shows, you know? I mean, how we've evolved and everything. It's just... I think it's really amazing, you know, and I'm grateful to you for sticking around, man. You've been great, and you're a friend, and we love to have you, man.
My two or three favorite things about your show specifically are really like a long time ago. There was, remember the masturbation thing that I did?
Yeah.
Like with very first host. That was, I think that's by far my most favorite produced bit. I actually send that out when I... apply to like radio jobs and stuff just to show production quality. But then who was the host that liked to take steaming loads on her face?
Oh, that was Sherry.
Oh, right. Yeah, so
She came clean on the air.
Making a song about, you know, just making up lyrics about how she likes to take hot loads on her face. I mean, that was some of the funnest stuff I've ever done. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
She hated it every time you just bounce it on her, and she was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And there I was singing another song about how she likes to take ones to the face. Yeah, it was great. Mia, are you interested in that? I can make
God.
Up
some money. Oh,
my God. I don't think Mia's going to go that far.
You guys.
I mean, that's what she just offered up on the show. That was, she just admitted it right out in the open. So you do that, yeah. And it's open season. I'll take it to task for sure.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
So watch what you say.
Watch what you say. Yes. Lesson learned. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Greg. Well, thank you so much for calling. We have a couple of great guests waiting in the wing here. So
cool.
Thanks for calling, man. I always love to hear from you.
Yeah, always appreciate you, Sam, of course, and Mia, welcome to the show, and look
Thank
forward to
you.
Talking to you again down the road.
Thanks Great. So much.
Thanks, Greg. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So anyway, that's Greg, and yeah, he likes when the show used to be a lot more sexual, but I figured, you know, you can't talk about sex all the time, so,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, that was crazy. Some people were crazy.
Oh, my.
But at any rate, let's get to our guests. We have two very special guests in the studio, and... their names are George and Tehran. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm did Tehran I just wake you up, Tehran?
No, I was listening to the hot load on the face thing.
Yeah.
That'll wake anybody up.
He was better than Folgers in my cup.
He clung to that one, no problem at all.
Yeah. You can ask me anything else about the entire show.
You'll be focused on
that's
that.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Men are so freaking shallow, man.
It's not even, I had no idea that was good. It was so wholesome. Like, we were sitting here, sitting around each other just reading the Bible, and all of a sudden the caller came in and was like, hot loads on your face.
And talking about barbecue and everything. Yeah.
While Tehran was fantasizing, I was actually worried for my life with all these fire trucks passing by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
And you're dressed to a T and everything, you know, purple shirt, you got your suspenders and everything. Now, Tehran, on the other hand, is wearing a bathrobe. And how do you get away with that?
Listen, this is L.A., and thank goodness there's so many crackheads in the street that no one even looks at me funny
they don't
when
notice
I walk by
you, huh?
In a bathrobe. No one even questions, why is this guy wearing a bathrobe? Right. No one has ever said a word.
Really?
Yeah,
D.C. They're probably thinking it, though, that you're crazy.
I don't even think so. No.
Where is that? Like, where'd you get the idea from? How long have you been doing that for?
It's a bathrobe, and that's the thing. It's actually funny how people perceive this. Like, it's kind of like it's just a coat if you really think about it. It's nothing really different.
Right.
It's kind of like how a snuggie
Very
is a backward
coat.
Robe, and and bikinis are really just your bath. It's like your undergarments, right? It's lingerie on the beach. But if you ask a girl, hey, wear your underwear, they'd freak out. But they regularly wear their bikinis on the beach. It's just society's perception of what something is.
I see. That's okay. It. So to you, it's okay if everybody walked around with a bathrobe.
No,
what
no, because then everyone would be biting my style.
I see.
Point.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't stand out anymore.
Yeah, me and Hugh Hefner, that's about it. Yeah. That's how we roll.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. I have to say, though, he rocks it well. I'm not embarrassed walking next to him.
You're not embarrassed walking.
It actually looks cool.
Because I make him look better. He's in a bow tie, suspenders. He's always, listen, something about Mr. George Corey, he's always on his swaggy tip. He's always dressed to a T.
That's
once
awesome.
You leave the house. And that's his little motto. It's like you can never be overprepared, overeducated, or overdressed.
Wow, there
and
you go,
the imperfect gentleman way.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah.
the show. That's the show, by the way.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about the show. So you guys are hosts on the station. You started a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And the show is?
Imperfect Gentleman Show.
Right. Now, why is it imperfect? Because you guys are less than perfect?
Well, we realized throughout our years of being imperfect gentlemen that there's no such thing as a perfect gentleman.
Uh-huh.
So what we decided is that you need to actually recognize your weaknesses, try to improve on them, and still strive for excellence and strive to be a gentleman. With
the
understanding
that
there is no perfect gentleman, but you still strive to be your best.
Right.
And that's what we do.
I see. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Especially in the modern day. Modern day, it seems that the whole, where have all the cowboys gone, you know? Like, where have all these men, like... We all think very similarly, but we're all not scumbags.
Right.
We just need to tone down our scumbagness.
Right.
And that's what we help other men and women achieve. Like, we tone it down a little. Like, how to be the best you that
right.
you can be.
I like
that. Yeah. So, is that what you guys talk about? You talk about actually not being perfect and all that? Or
well, yeah, and all that it entails. So, we talk about everything that comes with being an imperfect gentleman, whether it's the way you present yourself, the way you dress, how you conduct yourself in relationships,
right. especially
formal
relationships.
Events, especially relationships that we've had the highest response level.
Well,
to that, so.
The boy-girl dynamic is the most relevant dynamic in the world. Like the way boys interact with girls interact with boys, that really for like most guys, that is our entire existence. Is everything we do is for girls. Like we would walk around in bathrobes and fig leaves still if there weren't women in the world. Like these buildings, they're all because of girls.
I see.
Every car I've ever
Everything
driven,
revolves around.
It, it does. Right. Yeah. It does. No matter what your sexuality.
You put it like that. I mean,
it does. Our whole existence, our world revolves around women.
Right.
And so that's a dynamic that we explore, and we speak the things that people don't like to speak about. We touch about those things. Because many of us have thoughts that are very similar that we never discuss with one another.
Right.
And so...
Like what, for example?
Well, we talk about topics like sex, obviously, but things like long-distance relationship, love. Mm-hmm. Guys, when you watch like a rap video, you have one idea of love. But the realness of the situation is we have very similar ideas of what love is. Like, even though it seems so cool in 5 minutes to have 50 girls, many of us can't even satisfy one girl. Mm. And so we talk about these things. We talk about what we really, really like as men, what we really think.
Yeah, it's a transparency. So we actually make ourselves vulnerable. And a lot of men, let's face it, ladies who are listening out there, we have a lot of insecurities.
Right.
And people don't realize that. So what we do is we make that visible, make it audible to people. And we show it to them, put it in their faces. And that way, women can come to a better understanding of the opposite sex. Because too many men are walking around a little too macho and acting like they're a little too unaffected by everything around them. But we tell the truth.
We
tell the ugly truth as well. So if if we do have bad intentions sometimes, we vocalize it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people actually don't share that. Mm-hmm. And now to the outside eye, that looks like they're a better character. But in fact, if they're not showing you their weaker side as well, then you really don't know who that person is.
That's true, yeah. So you need to show your vulnerability, you think?
Exactly.
Really?
Well, just own up to it.
It's like you can, in the modern day, you can still be a man. It's there's a trend where men are not men anymore. Mm. Like the man is become defunct. I don't know why.
Masculine as we know it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being masculine. You don't have to be macho and masculine. You can still be a man and still be vulnerable, still have insecurities. Girls always think that they have the most insecurities. They don't. A guy's ego is very fragile. That's why men do so many of the things, especially the nastier things that they do, is because of their ego. The lack of confidence makes them do things like cheat or makes them think that money's the only object to prize, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that I think there's always going to be misunderstanding between the sexes because we're different. We're different animals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's not to try and create like to say we're the same is not. It's not the same as saying we're equal. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're equal as far as rights and things like that, but we're not the same. We think differently. You know?
Exactly.
And it's true. Men are pretty vulnerable too. You know? I mean, it's just that we put on a facade or something. And try to come across as manly, like you said.
Yeah.
You
it's a lot of societal conventions come into play, how a man thinks he's supposed to act or how a woman thinks she's supposed to act. But in the end of the day, as different as we are similar in our actions as well. So what we do is we kind of parlay, find that common ground between the two.
Right.
And you know, there's actually some pretty powerful stuff on our show. Mm-hmm. We actually received an email, was it 3 months ago? From a lady who informed Tarot and I she decided to divorce her husband because of one of our shows.
Really?
And we kind of went into a panic. We went into a panic. But we made her have some epiphany that she realized that was going on in her relationship.
Right.
I don't want to take ownership to it, but maybe we helped her see something.
Yeah, so there you go.
Listen with caution.
We're ruining that guy's life. I don't know.
I feel bad.
I don't. I mean,
Tarot doesn't.
I don't.
Bad.
I thought it was
for
hilarious.
Tarot, it's an additional opportunity walking around now.
Yeah, there you go.
Amazing. That's how it really works.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
That is how it works.
So now, so a little bit on you guys' background and everything. George, were you born here originally?
I was actually born on the East Coast of all places. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Home of the most significant Civil War
battle.
There
you go. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Right.
And so Philly.
Near Philly.
I mean Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. So Gettysburg is actually...
Gettysburg.
Yeah. It's closer to Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I was there in my early childhood. Then I moved to the greater Washington area, where and about 10 years ago, I ran into this guy named Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both from the D.C. area. He
was
actually born in D.C.
You born in D.C.?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in D.C.
Born and raised.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an East Coast guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, all the states there are pretty small and together there. Now, is that pretty close to where you guys grew up? I mean, Gettysburg and D.C.?
Honestly, it would take less time to go from Gettysburg to D.C. than it does from Hollywood to Sherman Oaks.
Are you serious?
Just traffic. Because the traffic in L.A. is so bad.
That's funny.
That's so very
bad.
True.
Right. Like,
wow.
But yeah, so like most of my life I was out in, you know, the Washington, D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't understand or who are not from that area, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, they're all within 15 to 20 minutes of each other.
Right.
Or up to 30 in traffic. And that's why they call it the DMV area. A lot of people confuse it with the place you go to get your driver's license, but actually stands for D.C., Maryland, Virginia.
Maryland, Virginia. Oh, wow. Right. That's pretty
that?
Cool.
That makes sense.
You learn something new every day.
We're bringing knowledge to Hollywood. We actually brought our natural hair, too. We noticed there's not a lot of fros going around in Hollywood. It's
not
more
anymore,
of a DC thing.
So you brought your fros with you.
We brought the fros.
So you both have fros and everything. And
sometimes we let it curl. Yeah,
I see.
Two bottles of gel, you get the curls. Man.
So how's one born with an afro? I mean, you're not black.
I don't know how it happened. I have some questions for my mother.
Yeah. Where's she been hanging out? Huh?
He's as close to being black as you can be and not be black.
Really? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's the thing.
And, yeah. So what was it like growing up black in D.C. area?
Well, that's
was
the thing. Tough? Actually, I'm mixed. My dad's Iranian, my dad's Persian, and my mom's black.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so I grew up in D.C. being black is very normal.
Yeah.
that's where we are.
That's
and,
cool.
And being Persian is also very normal, just in a different neighborhood.
Yeah,
so
there you
like,
go.
It just depends on where in D.C. you live.
Yeah, I see. Okay, so it's normal to be Persian in other parts of D.C.
Well, that's the thing. L.A. has a very big Persian population.
Yeah, right.
But the second most highest in the United States is actually in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
I wonder why
everything.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, but Tehran, let's make this clear while we're on air. Tehran is the original black and Persian. I don't know why, out of nowhere,
it's trendy
all these
now.
Black
it's
and
like
Persians
all
have been popping up left
really?
And right.
Yeah. And my name is Tehran, like the capital of Iran.
Right.
And a lot of people always think my dad named me that because it's like an Iranian name. It's not an Iranian name. In fact, my dad, much like most Iranians, thought that my name was silly. My mom named me that because she thought it sounded black.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, Tehran sounds black enough that it's black, but it's still Iranian.
Right.
And so...
And you obviously have to explain it all the time to people. I mean, it sounds pretty...
Mostly at the airport, but I mean, it's fun. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's a name, and I'm so glad, because if my name was Babak or Jerome, I don't know who I would have turned out. But with that name, it's like, with great power comes great responsibility.
There you go.
That name set a tone.
That's
set
awesome.
A tone for how I was going to be.
Cool. So, George, did you have a big family growing up?
I have one of each in the family. I have a mother, a father, a brother, and a sister.
That's cool.
And I'm the middle child.
Uh-huh.
So I had all the attention pointing my direction. If it wasn't, I grabbed the attention.
Yeah.
And actually, I had an interesting childhood because my father's a minister. So I grew up in the church. And my mother was a teacher. Now, where it got kind of scary was I actually attended the schools that my mother taught at. And every day she was being called to the principal's office to pick me up. I was a troublemaker growing up.
No way. This is really?
These are the roots of the imperfect gentleman.
Yeah, Mr. George Corey is definitely a refined.
I always wondered about that. Like,
you know, middle child, pastor's son. I was getting in lots of trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, wow. Yeah. And you probably embarrassed the hell out of your mother.
I did. Mom, I'm sorry. While I'm on Sam in the Morning, this prestigious show, I want to apologize to my mother.
There you go.
Many people can hear me. And in the presence of the lovely me.
Yo, when I walked in and I only saw Sam, I got a little worried because I was like, I was hoping to meet Mia.
Yeah.
Where's Mia?
I know. Oh, damn. This is going to be boring now.
I was like, Sam.
Mia's nails are popping right now. Yo. The neon pink and yellow.
Thank you. I did it myself.
Yeah.
Ladies, take tips from me.
Your nails look fabulous. I have to say, for real though, like I've heard the show and you're very beautiful, but you're very intelligent, which is a very rare quality in LA to have a girl who's very beautiful and very intelligent. Because the typical LA girl is one way. Like the truth is, especially coming from the East Coast, coming here, I noticed the discrepancy. So you're very clever, like the things, like even the fact that you remembered what kind of bike your brother had and you hadn't been there in a while. That's not an easy thing to remember.
Well, I mean, I was just home. I did just get home. But I do take an interest in cars and motorcycles and sports.
That's like, also not usual.
Yeah. Teron just doesn't throw those compliments out.
Yeah.
Not just anyone.
I mean, thank you.
I'm very, very honored.
Yeah, I'm sincere, if nothing else. But yeah, very. And then of course Sam here.
Sam, the man.
Sam, yeah.
You're the mold. You're the
There you go.
You see, Sam, the man.
Yeah, except you didn't want to look at me in the morning. You wanted to look at Mia, so that's fine.
I only live in West Hollywood, Sam. I'm not actually from West Hollywood.
I can live with that. That's fine. Yeah. Well, and how about you, Teron? How big a family do you
have? Well, I'm also in a situation. I have one of each. I have a mom, a dad, a brother, and a sister. I'm the oldest, though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I act like I'm the youngest, so it's like it works out.
Yeah.
He somehow became the middle child, too.
No, I don't have the middle child syndrome. I don't have that at all.
No, but you know that birth order is really significant, you know,
sure.
Like what part of, 100%. Like what order in the family you're born.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've read books on that. It's amazing. Yeah, we have talked about it.
Thank goodness I'm the oldest.
Yeah. Well, the oldest often is pretty screwed up. Like, look at me, you know.
That's in a good way, though.
Yeah, well, you don't know me.
I'm the oldest.
Sam, what you said
I think I turned out okay.
You sure did. But what you said is... what you said, Sam... Sam, what you said is so true, because my older brother is only... We're only 14 months apart.
Really?
And you would think that there's like a 10-year age gap between us, because he was just born into being the leader, and I would follow him. I didn't even have to think for myself, so I would just blindly follow him, which is probably why he's great with directions. I'm always lost. He's not around, so...
Well, that's funny. So now... So now, how did you guys meet? At what age did you meet?
We met like a little over 10 years ago in D.C. D.C. is a small city.
Right.
So, you know, the tastemakers, the trendy guys, they tend to, you know, either hate each other or love each other, right? So it's love-hate relationship. In D.C., I used to throw very big events, like very exclusive invite-only parties at these really fantastic locations. Fantastic. If you saw, like... You should watch the video sometimes.
Okay.
And Mr. George Corey here was at that time just George, because he wasn't—he hadn't refined yet.
He was still a troublemaker.
Yeah. Now he's Mr. George.
Yeah. Right? Now he's in a bow tie.
I earned the Mister.
Bow tie.
He's like, make sure you write Mr. on my bio there.
He's slender, like he's.
I did do that.
Before he used to be like a big guy, like very like bouncer muscular, like a big guy, and he's 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, very tall.
Wow.
And so
the hair makes me.
And he was like that guy, like a G. He was a gangster. And he had his group of friends, and so they were very trendy, and so of course we met, and it was like we became friends.
Wow, how cool, huh?
Swag recognized swag.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what happened. Let's just cut to it.
I don't even think we used the word swag back then. You know, we use these words like it's every single day, but you know, we had different slang every
That's true,
3 years.
Every generation.
Yeah. And right now it's actually swaggy.
Yeah, everything's swaggy right now. YOLO.
Yeah, and what's funny is like, the generations to come, if we were to say stuff like that, you know, like I remember my parents used to say stuff and I'd be like, that's not cool. You can't say that. It's like, I imagine myself as a mom being like, oh yeah, you should have seen me in my teens. I had swag. And they'd be like, oh, don't say swag. Oh.
Jive, turkey. It's true though. It is very good. It's like,
Or like for a while, groovy was like, oh, that's a previous
groovy.
Generation.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's funny, but it's coming back, I think. So it,
yeah,
it's,
you keep thinking that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
You hold on to that one. Any day, hold on to your mobile.
I don't know. I hear people say that.
Sam, I believe, Sam. It will come back.
See, he's always the ambassador of positive thinking. That's
yeah,
what he
there
is.
You go.
What I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hold on to that.
Now, George, in your real life, what is it that you do for a living?
What do I do for a living right now? Believe it or not, I've been just focusing on the Imperfect Gentleman show. It's all
really?
I've been doing. Yeah.
Really?
I'm also an actor, so I've appeared on the Mindy Project.
Oh, nice.
Filmed some stuff on NCIS. So I'm working the magic here in Hollywood.
Right.
And I'm really taking a passion, and we take our brand seriously in the show. So that's been my focus out here.
That's cool. And so when you were back in D.C., what were you doing then?
In D.C.
Yeah. I mean, at any point in your life,
trouble.
Did you, At any point in your life did you work?
I have had jobs, yes. Yeah. I did a lot of sales jobs.
And
I have that edge, I think, talking to people, convincing people. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but
it is
what
a good
happened
thing,
is
yes.
Actually at church growing up, I would always stand and hand out the bulletins to all the
really?
Congregation members.
Uh-huh.
So I just learned how to talk to everyone, whether it was the senior citizens, you know, people right. my age, in between. Mm-hmm. So Ron's going to make a comment. But I learned how to talk to people, and using that skill, if you are good in conversation, if you're loquacious and you can connect to people, sales is always a good environment for that. And if you notice, right. a lot of entertainers cross into that. Athletes,
yeah,
people with charisma
true.
Do well in sales. And
that's true. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a good thing to be born with it, because otherwise people have to learn it, and it's not easy. You know,
exactly.
being a salesperson, being able to take the rejection.
Facing rejection. And, you know, as an actor, too, that's something that you really have to come to terms with. You have to be able to face rejection. As a matter of fact, when I first moved to Hollywood, I went to the top 10 modeling agencies. Now, if you look at me, I'm 6'3". You know, I'm taller. I'm bigger than most models you'd see on print are.
Right.
But I went to the top agencies knowing that they'd say no, but I wanted to build the resilience.
Oh, really?
And it actually got bad, because there'd be women like me in the lobby, and you walk in, they're like, all right, we need to take your photo. They'd snap a shot and say, we don't like you, leave.
Really?
And you'd have to walk out in front of these gorgeous women. So it was actually the 10th audition. I woke up and I said, I don't want to go. Like, I took so much rejection. You know, I had done some modeling before in D.C., and I have done some commercial and print, actually. But when you're competing with the best of the best in L.A., it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And it was the 10th agency, the last one I went to. I'll never forget it. There was a guy sitting next to me, chiseled cheeks, looks like he was torn off a page of GQ.
Right.
And he got the same rejection that I got.
Really?
And that's where it was an awakening moment for me. I realized it's never about what's on paper. Or you always think you're trying to fit into mold, but look at some of the most influential people walk their own paths.
Mm.
So that was a big moment for me. I realized in Hollywood that, you know what, I need to build my own path, be myself, bring my own personality, my own life experiences.
Right.
At that moment, I think I became Mr. George Corey.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It is, you know, but that's the thing, is that I think if you're able to take rejection, then you know, and especially in Hollywood, I think it's really not a big deal, because you're not being rejected for who you are, you're being rejected for who you are not. You know, because the thing is, they have someone in mind of who they want, you know. So
exactly.
it's not like you're a good actor, bad actor, you look good, you don't look good. It's just that to them you don't look the part.
Right.
Or you don't act the part.
Yeah, and even sometimes in the cases where you don't and it's not in your hands, well, then at that point, the only tool you have working for you is you, your
right.
energy. So maybe it's not what fit, but show them your energy. Show them who you are,
right.
and maybe they will find something. And that's actually what I admire about Taran so much.
Mm-hmm.
Taran could care less about what anyone thinks about him.
Right.
He does what he feels. And you see that in the show. You see that right. in a lot of his works and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's something I really admire
about
him.
And the way he dresses,
him.
Too.
And the way he dresses, the bathrobe.
Yeah.
No, but actually the flag on his head looks really cool right now.
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah. So, I mean, and what about you, Taran? Are you also in entertainment? And
I am. I've never had, like, a regular job. Like, I have the luxury of not, thank goodness for being half Persian.
Yeah.
it's the best. It's like having superpowers.
Now, what does that mean? Means you have extra money in your pocket?
No, actually, what happened was, in high school, I had a clothing company, and I was able to, I purchased the name at the time, which was funny, because my parents thought it was so silly that I was trademarking a word.
Right.
And I trademarked this word, and I sold it later. And I would have made way more money now.
Right.
If I had known what I know now. But, and then I used that to invest in some nightclubs, and in school, I played basketball in school, so I thought I was an athlete. I was cool.
Yeah.
I did, thank goodness, still get good grades, even though I was a bit of a troublemaker as well. And I have a master's in economics, and I went to Georgetown Law.
Wow, very cool.
I have a law degree.
Oh, wow.
Very cool, yeah.
So while Mr. George Corey was at University of Maryland getting his English degree, that's utterly pointless, but he used to, like, talk to me about these
I use it
epic
every
poems.
Day. Yeah. I use the degree
big words.
Every day.
I've heard a couple big words thrown out there.
Well, it's supposed to make you money, George, you know?
Eventually it will with this radio show on LA
there
Talk
you go.
Radio.
He was really into, like, the literature and stuff back when we were in college. He was very into literature, and I was into having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what I did was I used to throw events, have these like exclusive parties and stuff, which actually made a good chunk of change.
Right.
Obviously paid for law school.
Right.
And then after law school was done, I decided that I wanted to go into entertainment instead of managing entertainers, which I was doing previously. And I now have my own show at the Laugh Factory every single Monday at 10.
Oh, cool.
Each and every Monday. So any of your listeners that ever want to come, if they contact you, I'll put them on the guest list. It's like a courtesy.
Okay.
To
they can contact
Sam and
you.
Mia.
They don't need to contact me.
Well, I don't talk to people, Sam. I'm Hollywood now. Look,
you need
we'll
to make
lunch.
An appointment to see me.
Okay, we'll do lunch. Yeah. Like, don't call me. I'll call you.
Teron's the more humble of the bunch,
so,
as you can see.
It's because I'm awesome in every way. And the thing is, like, it's so hard to be this good-looking and humble.
Yeah.
I know. You know how it feels, right, man? I know. You know exactly how it feels like. It's so tough.
Yeah.
So I'm at the Laugh Factory throughout the week as well. Mm-hmm. And on this, at this point, I've like gone on tour with Chris Tucker, Aziz Ansari, Maz Jobrani. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And I've only been doing comedy for about a year and 3 months now. So I've progressed quickly, but that's because I had focus, and I also had a plan of what I wanted to do.
Right. Now, what made you decide to do comedy? I mean, have you always been interested in it?
No, actually, I'm not a big comic fan at all.
Really?
The thing is, it's not specifically that I'm funny. Mm-hmm. It's that life is funny, and I just talk about life. And I talk about things that are very real, and I'm very open, especially about being Black and Persian gives you a very unique perspective on life, mm-hmm. and things like racial issues and tension and news clips and everything.
Yeah.
And so I use that perspective, and people really relate to it. They really associate with the things that I'm speaking of, and they see value in it. And I'm really, if I was born 5,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, I feel like I would be a philosopher. Like I would have been Aristotle. I would have been Plato. Mm. But I'm not. And so in the modern day, comedians, they're the modern day philosophers, whether we believe it or not,
that's
or know
a good
it or not.
Perspective. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle has affected more young minds. Jon Stewart has affected more young minds with teachings, things that we laugh about but think about later.
Right.
And they are just philosophers.
Very
just,
interesting, yeah.
We have to laugh now.
Right.
We have to.
Yeah,
huh? Or
life
we cry.
Is too tough.
Or we
cry. Or we cry, exactly.
We have
My mom
to laugh.
Always says that.
Yeah, and it's
like,
really
I have to laugh or I'll cry.
Yeah. It's like, what can you do? Things are so good and so bad at the same time.
Right.
You have to, like,
But I think it's always been like that. You know, it's just that we don't know what it was like back then, you know, but I think life has always been good or bad. It just depends on where you are, you know,
Definitely.
In your life. But I really don't think life was meant to be easy. Because, then why even bother with this whole creation thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's too
complicated. You know, Sam, I do my words of the week every week.
Yeah.
And
they're inspirational words of the week.
And I remember one line I had. It was a simple line. It said, perspective changes everything. Mm. And what I've learned is there's always going to be bad things going on, but it's how you position yourself and look at it and what other things you look at the
right.
same time.
And also when you argue with people and you have a discussion and stuff, you have to understand there's a different point of view from where
of
you
course,
are.
Of course,
know?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to see. You know, I mean, you look at this bottle and it has a picture on it, and you can say this bottle has a picture, and I will say it doesn't have a fucking picture on it, but it's just because we're looking at it from different,
perspectives.
You know? But so we're only seeing parts of it, and I think that's the same thing in life.
Of course,
well,
there's
you
two
know?
Sides to every story, and then there's the truth.
Yeah, there you go.
And neither one of us can see it. And that's the thing. Like nowadays, we have the most amount of luxury that we've ever had in the history of man.
Right.
We have the most luxuries.
Most
and
abundance.
Yet we're still unhappy.
Right.
So what's the end game? What's the point?
Like, right.
And that's one of the
so
things.
So what do you think? What's the point?
I know enough, Sam. I know so much that I know I have no idea. That's what I've learned to know. Like,
right.
I'm always right about not being right, and
okay,
I'm very happy with
that. But you must have a pretty good idea, like, why the universe was created and everything like that.
You
do you
know,
have an opinion on
that? That's the
thing.
That's a good question.
I think that the universe was created. Like, my opinion is that I'm so open to everyone's opinion. I really like to know what other people think, because I do feel like the universe was created for something special, but that something is something I don't know.
Right.
And I want to know why.
Right.
Like, I don't like when people try to say that, oh, it's only happenstance. There has to be more.
Right.
If I was walking in a jungle and all of a sudden came across a cornfield that was perfectly planted and executed and then kept walking and became jungle again, my only logical conclusion would be someone planted this cornfield and someone planted it for a reason.
Right, yeah. It's too. It's simply too intelligent for it just to happen by
intelligent
coincidence.
Intelligent design.
You know?
Intelligent
design. So, yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I think, and not to even think religiously or anything, but just I think... if it was created for really for the sole purpose of people, of humankind, then yeah, I mean, it can't possibly be easy. You know, you need to learn some lessons. And, you know, I mean, if I'd planned it, I would have done the same thing, you know.
So, oh, you would have?
Yeah.
You would have
so I agree.
Of course, you would have created everything.
I agree with
way.
God, you know. Yeah.
Sam created his own world, Sam, LA Talk
good.
Radio.
Like, he agrees with God. A good way to go.
There you go.
Smart.
I commend him for being honest and
he's so like
and
Sam.
Intelligent.
God
there
has
you
a
go.
Shirt that says, yeah. I'm like Sam.
There you go.
Yeah. Sam, I've seen it. I've seen it. That's genius right there. That's the design.
Yeah.
It's only intelligent design if it's done the way you would have done it, Sam.
Right. There you go. You
can
know,
you explain
so.
LA highway system then?
Can yeah, you, I definitely can explain it.
Would you
yeah.
have designed that
too
the
many
same
fucking
way?
Cars.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the explanation,
it's
you know.
It's true, though, man.
But yeah, I mean, but the interesting thing about the freeways here is the stop and go, you know. Don't you sometimes wonder why is the traffic, like, snarling here and then, like,
you go I'll a little, and then why. It's free.
And it's
open.
Free, right?
I'll tell you why. Because so someone is just looking to your left at something completely
it's
insignificant
Mia.
And
it's
stupid.
It's Mia looking at the fire
oh, no.
trucks while she's driving. Like, I wonder what's going on
notice?
Here.
Like, that's what causes backups on the highways is there might be a car just pulled over to the side.
Right.
In the emergency
people
lane.
Are watching.
And people are just
everybody
taking that extra
to
5 to 10 seconds
yeah.
to slow down and look at it. And there you go, traffic.
Yeah, it's
or the fact that we're like, aren't we like the most overpopulated city right
well,
now?
Well, also, it's not just that. I feel like LA drivers, like, honestly, everyone thinks people on the East Coast or like New York are very rude.
Right.
Yo, LA people are like, I'll drive. They would rather me die than get in the lane. Like, if I get ahead of them in the lane, I get ahead of them in life. No,
right.
Let me over. My lane ends, you know? Right. And the signage isn't good. Like, the detour sign is past the actual like exit
yeah.
and it's like detour back there like what can I do
yeah.
now what
then
can I do
also
now?
From a DC lens you know the metro system is very strong
oh,
developed
yeah.
in DC and there's a serious lack of the metro
and right. if you're not Hispanic right. here you have no idea how to ride a bus because
exactly.
there's nothing
so true.
You can do like
generalization
you have no idea where the bus is going no it's true because that's why listen if you go to the bus I've ridden the bus before and it's mm-hmm. crazy. First of all, the buses here are like insane asylums on wheels. It's
yeah.
the craziest people get on the bus for no. It's
right.
like the public libraries here are just homeless shelters. I don't
right.
understand.
Yeah, it's because it's the people that can't afford cars. You
yeah.
know, they go on them.
Yeah.
So you know, it's usually the poor.
The ones
people.
Who can't afford the Maseratis, Sam.
Right. There
the
you
Maseratis
go.
And Ferraris.
Yeah.
Like you guys have like Range Rovers here or like caravans back home, man. Mm. Everyone here. The low level is Range
I
Rover.
Know.
Yeah.
Ferraris. I've never seen so many Ferraris and Lamborghinis in my entire life. Like
uh-huh.
I'm talking about looking through car magazines. I haven't
right.
seen them.
Right. No, that's true. And everybody, every other person has a BMW or Mercedes.
Yeah.
And
people here
like
are just
that.
So rich.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think
or
some
poor.
People.
Well,
yeah.
People put all
polarized.
Their money into
yeah.
a
we're
car.
Poor.
Like they
we're
might
poor.
Have this like shitty ass apartment, but man, their
yeah.
car is smoking.
Car.
Like,
be
because
cool.
you know what?
You
they spend more. Yeah. They actually. It's all about image, and they
image
probably
everything.
With
yeah.
all this traffic,
everything.
They spend more time living in their vehicle than
exactly.
they do in their apartment.
Yeah.
In this town, your car's like your clothes, you know, because you don't walk, you know. So people want to make sure they look nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And
how
they keep up with the Joneses, you know.
$100 million movies, man.
Right.
Like I would pay $10 if someone just showed me a picture of $100 million. Like
yeah.
I wouldn't. You wouldn't even have to make the movie.
Yeah.
I could walk in somewhere if there was a pile of $100 million just to see it. I would
yeah.
pay.
I was just reading that Robert Downey Jr., the highest paid in
yeah.
Hollywood, $75 million a movie.
$75 million. Wow. Channing Tatum
oh
came in at
gosh.
Number two with
yeah,
$60 million.
What?
Channing, the I used to strip Tatum, came
yeah.
in $60
yeah.
million because of the smart moves. I mean,
yeah.
it's crazy who becomes stars, you know?
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr., his family, he's been surrounded by stardom. His dad,
oh, yeah.
Robert Downey Sr., is also an amazing producer, actor,
mm-hmm.
director. And, you know, he's Hollywood royalty. But Channing Tatum, in very many ways, besides being extremely good-looking, no homo, is
right.
also very self-made.
Right.
And that's a testament to not only Hollywood, but to the United States of America, the only country,
right.
once again, being a foreigner in a lot of ways. Okay, I speak Farsi, I read and write fluently, influenced. There's no other country that you can come to this land as a complete foreigner and become the president one day, or your son becomes the president, or own a gas station. Like, how do you not speak English and own businesses only here? Right. You could never do that in any other country in the world. Mm-hmm. You will never see like the president of Iran, for example, be a African immigrant son. Impossible. Right. Yeah. Only here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like in America, you know, to have someone named Hussein Obama, you know, I mean, it's like it's totally like not the traditional American name.
Not traditional. His name is like terrorist Allah Akbar Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Makbar Amrika. And they still voted this guy because they just saw the, you know, his value as a person.
Right.
And it's crazy. And it's crazy that we still have a race problem here.
But talk about self-made as well. Another perfect example is our president.
No, well, he's half white, George.
I forgot.
So that's where he gets all his money.
Yeah. And in New York, they say like if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. If you make it in Hollywood, you can make it anywhere in the world. Like Hollywood is the epicenter of all entertainment on this planet.
That's true. And there's a lot of competition. And it's really hard.
Competition.
Like so many hot girls. Listen.
Yeah.
If you go to a club, if you're a 7 and you're a girl, in DC you might be a 10.
Right.
In LA you're a 7.
Uh-huh.
And
they won't let
kill yourself because there's so many 9s and 10s that it's amazingly ridiculous. Like, I went to the gay pride parade. It was like right outside. I live in West Hollywood.
Right.
I'm in the gay pride parade. I'm looking, and these gay guys were so good looking. If you're a fat gay guy, just die because you're not getting ass. Like, there was these guys that were so, it's like, you know, they make a big deal of gay people being on sports teams.
Right.
These guys, I would have all gay sports teams because these guys were so fit and athletic. It was crazy. I was thinking, I was like, you know, maybe it's not that bad. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How many good looking people live here.
It's so unfair for us females. I'm like, why are all the good guys gay? Like, they're all so hot. What the heck? Even if
you're not all gay, Mia.
Even if you go to a restaurant, it's like a runway show.
Waiters,
everyone just is very, you know, there's a lot of focus on image, and it's not always a bad thing. People take care of themselves.
Like, is there a photo shoot at the Coffee Bean right now?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh. Or is there an Armenian convention at the Coffee Bean? You don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah. But this town does draw a lot of beautiful people.
It does.
You know?
Every prom queen all over America comes here to become a whore, and it's great.
There you go.
It's great.
Jesus.
Yo, come on, casting couch it up, let alone a club scene. Listen, coming from the East Coast, coming to L.A., it's like having a superpower talking to girls.
Right.
Because in D.C., I had to talk a girl out of, like, her stockings, Banana Republic jeans, like, two coats and a sweater and a vest. And like, here, the girl's already in her bikini at the club. I'm just like, hey, what's up? Oh, really?
Job,
That like, was easy.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's great. And guys here are like, they are very girly. The guys here, like here, they're so pretty. They don't talk. They're too good for girls. So just striking up a conversation, people don't have conversations here. Everyone, the first question out of people's mouths is things like, what kind of car do you drive?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? Like, what do you mean, what do I do? I'm trying to do you, girl, come here.
Yeah.
I want my Facebook, I'm in your face.
Charming.
But that's everywhere.
Charming.
People ask you what you do for a living. You know, I mean, that's just normal, you know, but
I think in D.C. they ask you who'd you vote for? That's like what we ask.
Yeah.
Almost everyone I've met in D.C.
political party
works for the government.
Yeah.
That's why the economy stays stronger over there.
It was very stable.
Is that why your family moved there?
Well, actually, my father started his ministry in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And my mother had opportunities in the education system. Actually, it's very strong in the suburbs around D.C.
Very good schools.
They actually, in Northern Virginia, in areas of Maryland, they have some of the best top 10 or in the top 10 ranked school systems, public school systems in the nation.
Wow.
Right.
So yeah, 100%. Cool. Fairfax County, Montgomery County.
Montgomery County, Fairfax County.
Best schools.
And then there's been a lot of criticism of the D.C. public schools.
And the four of the five richest counties are also all in the metropolitan area. Four of the top five richest counties in the entire country.
They're all in that area.
But they're just very middle class. Like, we're very upper middle class over there in general. And even our poor people aren't as poor as, like, I've seen here. And, like, in L.A., I see very young homeless people, which is very new to me. Like, having young, good-looking homeless people that are young, and they're, like, eating garbage and stuff, and it's weird. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I guess if there was ever a place to be homeless, L.A. would be.
Oh, yeah,
the weather.
I
love it. You know, I also, like, a lot of people talk about Miami, but the times where I go vacation
it's
there,
humid.
It's humid and it rains.
Right.
Yeah. L.A. is so consistent.
Yeah, but when it does drizzle, man, whoa, stay home, because if it drizzles a little, people go out of their minds.
Everybody freaks out.
Like a blizzard.
Exactly. Yeah, everyone starts driving like, oh, there's 12 feet of snow. I'm like,
well, because we're supposed to have only one season. That's all we have.
Yeah, and it's true,
nobody goes out, though, too. Like, that's the funny thing. Like, hey, so we're going to meet up tonight, hang out. Like, oh, you know, it's raining.
And by rain, they mean it's drizzle, like barely. If we didn't go out in the rain in D.C., we'd never go out. Like, rain, snow, we have all four seasons.
Always there.
Right. So it's like a different country here.
I feel like if the nights in L.A. were just a little warmer, it would be perfect.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Well, they will be.
I can't
be
too picky, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, guys, we got to wrap up. Why don't you go ahead and plug your show again? Let people know when they can listen.
We have a show? I was in your show. We have a show?
It's the Imperfect Gentleman Show with myself, Mr. George Corey, and Taran Bongasri every Wednesday. That's 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard
Time. Find us on Twitter at...
Well, my personal Twitter is Mr. George Corey, M-R George, K-H-O-U-R-I, Taran.
And mine's Taran Soparvaz, S-O-P-A-R-V, as in Victor, A-Z. And also we have the show Twitter.
Right. You could tweet us at Imperfect G Show.
And email us at?
ImperfectGShow@gmail.com.
Yeah. Sounds good. And you can go ahead and see you every Monday.
Every single Monday, Laugh Factory, 10 p.m. I'm there every single week, and it's a great show. I bring very heavy hitters.
The best of the best.
I bring very heavy
hitters.
Wonderful.
Dave Chappelle, Dane Cook.
Really?
And also up and comings. Yeah,
cool.
I'll have to
check it out.
Very good show.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All the best to you. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you. And guys out there, please listen to their show so I can start dating again.
Learn why.
Teach you the secrets.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.